My name is Carolyn Liu, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I've struggled throughout my life with anxiety and depression, and I'm experiencing some victory over those things at this point in my life. Hi. My connection with Celebrate Recovery is I have the honor and privilege of being the pastor over Celebrate Recovery Ministries, and so I get to work with the very cool Celebrate Recovery team who helps lead all you guys, led by Paul Van Fossen. And so I know some of you, and some of you know me, and others of you may think, who is that person? And that's who I am. So now you know. So Paul said that this was just an open week and I could speak on whatever I wanted. And he trusts me so much that he never even asked me what I was going to speak on. But I want to speak on something that I love speaking about, and that is on relapse. And the reason I like speaking on relapse is that we all have it. How many of you have had a relapse before? How many of you have had a relapse? I'm looking carefully. Looking carefully to see. Sometimes we think of relapse only in terms of drug and alcohol relapse. So I was using and I've committed to stop and I'm going to my treatment program, I'm going to my weekly meetings and I relapse. Or sometimes we think of it with as it relates to an addiction. But if you could think of every area in your life, you can relapse, right? Like you can commit to be more organized. I do this regularly with my closet. I think, I am going to keep all of the shirts folded. And I do really well for a while. And then I don't know what happens, but the next thing I know, I walk in there and my closet is exploded. All the t-shirts are jammed in the spot that I had carefully committed at one point in my life to keep carefully folded. So that's a very mild example. You can think of things that you commit more seriously to, like, I am going to speak more kindly to my husband. I don't need to be such an unkind person to my husband at times. So I'm going to commit. I am always going to be sweet and kind. And before you know it, I've broken that. I've relapsed into my old behavior of being short with him because I'm impatient or not saying things in a kind manner. Every area of life we can relapse in. Some other areas that I'm sure you might identify with would be codependent behavior. You've been that codependent in that relationship and you identified all the ways you were a codependent and you said, no more. I'm done being a codependent. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh my goodness, where did that last 6 months go and why did I get myself into this situation that is full of codependent behaviors? Or maybe it's how you're eating, whether it's to lose weight or because for you, you know you need to eat certain foods or avoid certain foods in order to be healthy for how your body works. And before you know it, you're back in that chip container again. You're eating those carbs. You're eating that gluten. You're eating too much sugar. We've all been there, right? Every area of our lives, we make commitments. Sometimes they're moral commitments. Sometimes they're personal. Sometimes they're silly, like my example of the t-shirts in my closet. It doesn't really matter if my t-shirts in my closet are organized or not. But we make commitments, and more often than not, we relapse. Well, how do we feel when we relapse? How do you feel?
Ashamed.
Defeated. Disappointed.
Defeated.
Guilty. Unlovable. I heard stupid. Yeah.
Failure.
Exactly. I heard another one.
Hopeless.
Yeah. And it gets us all there. Right? Doesn't matter whether the issue was the new diet you were going to try or the issue is a substance use problem, and we all end up right there again. And we experience relapse, somebody said it, as a failure, and then we take it to the next level and we say, I'm a failure. I'm a failure because I relapsed. And you know, that leads us to a feeling of being very weary. And one of my favorite passages in the Bible to comfort you in your weariness, and to comfort myself, is in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Close your eyes with me, if you feel safe doing so, and just listen to these words that God is speaking to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have a feeling that there are many of you here tonight that are struggling with a relapse in one way or the other in your life. And it's discouraging. It's overwhelming. You feel hopeless. You feel like a failure. And these are God's words to you. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me open our time in prayer and ask that God would give us that rest. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as broken people who struggle with things. Big things, little things, things with big consequences, and things that are more minor. And God, we are people that have emotions and we get discouraged and overwhelmed. I pray for those who are here tonight who are in that place where their own relapse has disappointed people around them, themselves. And I ask for each person here that they would be able to experience your rest and your comfort. To know that you are the one who takes our burdens and carries them for us. God, we put ourselves in this type of hands, in your hands, hands that are loving towards us, hands that are encouraging. So we give to you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we often look at relapse as a failure, and more particularly, I'm a failure because I relapsed. But what if we looked at relapse differently? What if we looked at it more as an opportunity to learn? And that's what I'd like to do with this silly, is actually a chain link. You might not have recognized it. You might have been thinking it was a worm or a snake. Yes. But no, this is a chain link. So we are going to talk about this method of thinking through your own relapse situations. And I know that a lot of the information that we're going to be getting out in this process is stuff that you do in step studies, so that you are going to be ready to do this process with me. The first thing we do when we think about relapse is we need to identify what it was. What was the problem behavior? So that is the big red circle. That's always the problem behavior. So what I'd like you to do on your own paper that was passed out in pens, if anybody didn't get one, raise your hand and Jeff will, oh, there's a few people in the middle that still need them. I left a blank spot in there. So this is more of a work on your own kind of teaching rather than me teaching the whole time. But think about the last thing that you relapsed in that you want to work on. It could be your primary issue. If you're working on codependency or drug and alcohol abuse, or it could be some other type of relapse. It could be a moral relapse in your own relationships or standard of living where you have wanted to perform or behave a certain way and you have not. So put that here. This is the problem behavior. And I'm going to give an example of anger. I'm going to give that example because the only people in this room who don't have a problem with anger are probably just those of you who are repressed in that area and aren't expressing it. Because we all have a problem with anger, right? We act out in anger at times. For some of us, it's very manipulative how we act out. Maybe we're not the ragers who yell and scream and so on, but maybe we're passive-aggressive. We get back at people or we get bitter. We hold it in. We all have a problem with anger, and I certainly have a problem with anger. There's more times than I would like to admit when I'm, as I mentioned earlier, not kind to my husband. I'm not patient with my children. Things come out of my mouth that should not come out of my mouth. So we all have that problem, and we're going to use this as an example. So first, identify for you, though, what is a problem behavior or a relapse area that you would like to identify for yourself tonight. Make a circle on your paper and put it in there. I'm not going to ask you to share, so you can be honest. And then we want to think back up over here. What is a precipitating event? That's a big word, let's say a past event that might have contributed. You might think, well, nothing contributed. I just, I'm always struggling with anger with my kids. I'm always saying things I shouldn't say. I can't think of anything in particular. But if you think, well, why did this anger outburst or this problem that I'm having, why did it come out now and not a week ago? Why did it come out tonight and not last night? Why did it come out this year and not last year? Was there anything going on that kind of kicked it off? Could be like a job loss or a relationship change. Could be financial change. Something that was going on in the background of everything. Could be the death of somebody or some dysfunction at work, a work situation, lack of work situation. And for me, I'm going to put my precipitating event is that I have a lifestyle that's too busy. That's just kind of an ongoing thing for me. That's my precipitating event or my past event. Can people think of what their own past event might be that would lead up? Give me a head nod if that's making sense. Okay. Then let's think for a minute about our vulnerabilities. Vulnerabilities are things that just are. They're how you're wired or how your environment works around you. Things that put you at risk of having whatever your problem behavior is. So for example, a vulnerability could be what you're eating. Are you eating enough? Are you eating too much? A vulnerability could be how much you're sleeping. A vulnerability could be anything that puts you at risk. Sometimes these are used as triggers as well. It's anything that puts you at risk. How much you're sleeping, how much you're eating, who you're hanging out with. Let me think here. I have a few others. Loneliness could be one. Yeah. Could be stressful events around you in the environment. Could be that you're an emotionally kind of, you have emotional extremes, and you know that when you get into a place where you're feeling sadness or loneliness or something, that that makes you vulnerable to act out in some way. Everybody write at least one vulnerability down that you've identified in yourself, something that makes you vulnerable. For me, what makes me vulnerable is sleep. I'm sensitive to how much sleep I get, and when I start kind of chipping away at that amount and start getting less and less sleep, then I put myself in a vulnerable spot. Then let's move to the other side of our worm or caterpillar here, and these are some other links. What are the consequences of this problem behavior for you? And use your first circle here and do your immediate consequences. Immediate, and these are to you. What consequences to you have happened because of your problem behavior? In my case, with anger, my immediate consequence is that I feel guilty. Maybe I feel like a bad mom or a bad wife. I'm not the person that I want to be. And then think in this other circle, what are the consequences to others around you? This one's sometimes more painful to fill out. For me, with anger, it could be I'm hurting my husband. I'm hurting my kids. Could be I'm creating psychological damage in my children long term. Coming to terms with our problem behavior, just like you do in step study, means being honest about what the consequences are when we relapse into that behavior that we're trying to stop. Have you had a chance to think of some consequences? Do you need a moment? Suicidal thoughts either could be your problem behavior, that could be, or it could be the result. You're right, it could be either one. Mm-hmm. Feeling like powerless. Yeah, that you can't change the situation. Yeah. Any other consequences that anybody wants to share?
Lack of trust.
Trust of yourself or other people trusting you? Both. Yeah.
I'm codependent, so if I relapse and take on more than I should, then I'm resentful. Why didn't they step up?
Mm-hmm. Resentful of others. Yeah. We didn't share other vulnerabilities. Anybody want to share what their vulnerabilities, things that you know about yourself that make you vulnerable to relapse? Yeah?
I'm cut off from my emotions.
Cut off from emotions? That's a great one. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Overcommitted.
Overcommitted? Good.
Lack of gratitude.
Lack of gratitude. Yeah, John? Not paying attention to your surroundings. Good. Any others? Yeah. Loneliness? Yeah. Great. So then we have these remaining little links here. And these are what link up. You can have these things going on, these vulnerabilities. You can have these maybe circumstances or past events that are going to kick off the likelihood. But it's all the little links that tie these things that might just happen. They might always be here, right? You're always going to have circumstances. Maybe you have a boss that's hard to work with at work or a coworker that's difficult, and that's that past event. We all have our vulnerabilities, right? When we're cut off from our emotions, when we're hungry, tired, when we're lonely, we know we have our vulnerabilities. But what is it that links up and results in the problem behavior that we're trying to avoid? And these things are really key. Probably one of the biggest ones is our beliefs. In fact, the Bible speaks to the importance of our beliefs. And I'm sure this is in some of your Celebrate Recovery materials. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but by the renewing of your mind, discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So we know that the Bible even speaks to the importance of our beliefs. Other things could be actions that we took. So actions would be another one. Oops. This one is an easy one to see if your problem behavior is acting out in some kind of addiction. Because when I used to work in addiction works, what we would see, what everybody would say, I would give UAs every day, what would happen is that people would be coming in and they'd have a clean UA, and the next week would go by and they had a clean UA, they're doing great. Next week would go by, they had a clean UA. Next week they could come by and they had a dirty UA. So you would always ask, what do you ask? Well, what happened? You know what 99% of the people said? I have no idea. You would think literally that somebody took that person hostage on the street, took that drug, made them ingest it, but there was, the perception was, I don't know what happened. I was doing fine, and then I dropped off. I have no idea what happened. What this does is slow it down. There are always actions or beliefs that we start doing. These could be behaviors that we start doing before we come to our problem behavior. So part of working through a relapse is slowing this down. It's like stretching out this chain. And that's why I kind of drew it at this angle, because the more you can stretch it out, the more you have time to think about this behavior that you're going to take, that you're going to do. What's an example of a behavior or an action that's not a problem behavior, but would get you to your relapse situation? Anyone think of that? An action you might take. Exactly. Very good. Hanging out with certain people. Maggie.
That's what I was going to say. Some exposure to something that is not good for you.
Mm-hmm. Exposure to something that's not good for you.
Isolation.
Yeah. Having sugar in the house. Yes.
Not working your program.
Not working your program. Dishonesty. Yeah.
Missing meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. What you're filling your mind with, certain types of music or something. Yeah. Yeah. So you have a belief there. Yeah. Just what are some beliefs? That's a great one. One more time won't hurt me. It's not hurting anyone else. I don't think I can write all this down. It's not that bad. I can start over tomorrow. There's no better option. What?
It's familiar ground.
It's familiar ground. I've been here before. Yeah. Yeah. What are feelings that go unchecked that can lead up to this problem behavior? Loneliness? Uh-huh. What was the one over here? Hopelessness. Yeah. Fear? Good.
Resentment.
Third one, anxiety and stress. Pride. Yeah. Ooh, pride's a big one for me. Pride's a big one because I won't ask for help. I'll just do it on my own. How many of you have been in that spot before? I'll just figure this out on my own. I don't need to ask for help. I don't need to admit that this is a problem for me. Yeah. I'd like to end this time by encouraging you to take this diagram and add it to what you're doing in your step studies and use it as a way to think through. Anytime you find yourself relapsing in an area, to think through, how did I end up here? You didn't end up here by accident. There was a chain of things that led you to that place. And really, this whole process is a very biblical one. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, David, one of the most famous kings in the Old Testament, asks God to do this. He asks God to search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes we read these scriptures and we tend to think, yeah, God, you know, show me what I'm doing. But using a process like this helps us be honest with ourselves, and this is what the example given in Scripture is. This is how we're supposed to live our Christian life, is by examining our thoughts, our behaviors, our beliefs, so that God can renew that work in our hearts and help us with the hurts, habits, and hang-ups or problem behaviors that we have. One last passage I'd like to read in closing is Romans 12:1-3, and this is actually the version from the Berean Study Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, and he's really counting sisters in too, so therefore I urge you, people, on account of God's mercy, so he's saying, I'm urging you to do this because our God is merciful, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What that means is he is urging us to give our lives over to God, that this is the best thing that we can do. Oftentimes, I know if you're struggling with addiction or some other kind of behavior that's ruining your life, that you might feel like the least worthy person. But you know what is pleasing to God is just that we turn it over. It doesn't matter that we've gotten a complete handle on our addiction. What matters to him is that we offer what we are to him as a living sacrifice. Verse 2 goes on, don't be conformed to this world. The world tells us all those statements that you said out loud, like one more time won't hurt, everybody else is doing it, I'll never get over this. Those are the things that the world tells us. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds is what happens here at Celebrate Recovery. When we come and we're honest about the thoughts and the feelings and the situations that we're actually in, and we allow the truth from God's word and the truth from our brothers and sisters in Christ to penetrate our hearts so that our minds are renewed. And then it says, and then you will be able to discern What is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? After you've done that process, you will know more clearly what God has for you. You will know more clearly what God's will is in this world and how you're a part of it. The last verse, verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you," so Paul is writing this and he is saying, I'm recognizing that I'm a person that's only here because of grace. I'm not better than you or smarter than you or better Christian. He's saying, by the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He's asking us to be accurate, to think of ourselves accurately and precisely, not higher than we are, not lower than we are, but think of yourselves with sober judgment. This kind of process helps you see yourself with sober judgment. You see yourself in reality according to the measure of faith that God has given you. Let me pray over you in closing this evening that God would bring the insights to you as you work processes like this and the step study process to reveal to you what his good and perfect will is. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are God who gives us your grace and your mercy. Remind us, Lord, when we relapse and when we're disappointed in ourselves, that your grace and your mercy are there every time, no matter how many times. Help us reject, Lord, those untrue thoughts that come from Satan that say, I'm not worth it anymore, or I've messed up too many times. Help us to believe what is true. And God, give us the courage to walk in sober judgment, to be honest about the scruples that we have, about the issues that we have, about the way that we're thinking about things. Help us not to be people of the lie who push things under carpets and deny what's really going on and minimize our problems. Help us to be bold and courageous so that you can transform us into a greater likeness of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.